Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes y todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present, and all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite and other means of communication. Greetings there to missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God continue to bless him greatly this morning as well. Our subject for today is the power of transformation. And let's read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, where it tells us, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The power of transformation. It was preached on August 19 of 2011 in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. You may please visit it if you're so kind. In this message titled, God's Power to Transform, look, there it tells us, on page 6 of this message, at the bottom, it says, Now, this word transformed, I looked up in the dictionary yesterday when I almost lost track of the time that I was to be up here. When I was looking for the text, I found this word, or this text, rather, scripture. And in the dictionary, it says that it is something that's changed. It's to be changed, transformed, made different than what it was. It's been its character, and everything has been changed in it to transform. And I'm thinking, this morning in Genesis 1, this world was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the earth, nothing but a complete chaos. And when this world was in that condition, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and the entire picture was changed from a total chaos to a Garden of Eden. That is transforming power of God that can take something that is nothing and make something wonderful out of it. God's transforming power. And there he writes, and it moves upon the nations and transforms people. And it moves upon the nations because water represents the nations and people. And it moves upon the nations and transforms people. He remembered a bit more of what he had told him on that occasion. When the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, notice, and then stood still, it left, meaning the Spirit of God was removed from upon the waters, and he said that is why there is a shortage of water and problems of drought and all of that. Notice, because the Spirit of God left. Now, notice, this is how it is with the human being. If he doesn't have the Spirit of God, then the person is dry. He doesn't have that flowing stream of water, and then the person finds himself in a drought. He becomes a way shriveled up. Which one is the one that a raisin? That's how they end up, dry, wrinkled, shriveled up. They have nothing because they don't have the Spirit of God. That's how it is with the nations, with people, and with individuals as well. Now, look, in this message, the materialization of the Word, which was preached on January 31st of 2003, it says, in order for the promised word to materialize for a person, the person has to believe that which has been promised. Otherwise, what God promised is fulfilled, and the person doesn't even realize that God has fulfilled what he promised for his people. Now, we find that in order for that promised word to be fulfilled, Abraham had to be young, and Sarah too, so that they could be in the time of life, which is the time when the woman can conceive children. In the message Feast of the Trumpets, on page 17, it tells us there, and Abraham said, she is in the tent behind you. That is, he said to Elohim, and he said, I. That is a personal pronoun. I will visit you according to my promise at the time of life. The next 28 days, something is going to happen to Sarah, which is the time when that time comes to a woman. 28 days. Now, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and Sarah, in the tent, smiled in herself and said in her heart, how could this be, seeing I'm old and have pleasure with my Lord, who is also old? Abraham? And the angel, or the man, said, why did Sarah say that in her heart, in the tent behind him? Why did she say these things cannot be? See? A man in human flesh, like a prophet, yet it was Elohim, discerning the thought that was in Sarah's heart, behind him. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be at the coming of the end of the world, when the Son of Man, not the Son of God, when the Son of Man will be revealed. And in front, notice, there's a writing there where it says, I will visit you according to the time of life. In the next 28 days, something is going to happen. A colon, transformation. Something was going to happen in the next 28 days. In order to have the promised son, she and he had to be rejuvenated. I will visit you according to the time of life. In the next 28 days, something is going to happen. Transformation. And also, here, in the message, proving his word, it tells us, on page 26, it says, now, notice, just before that taken place, this son to come, now, this one that stayed and talked to Abraham, had his back turned to the tent, and he said, Abraham, now, just a day before that, he was Abraham. Now, he said, Abraham, where is thy wife Sarah? Not Sarah, S-A-R-R-A. S-A-R-A-H, princess, where is thy wife Sarah? Said, she is in the tent behind you. And above tent, he writes, the tent. He said, I'm going to visit you, see, according to my promise that I made you. In other words, the time of life, Sarah will start in her ordinary time of life again, meaning her menstrual cycle. Now remember that Elohim was there. Now, he goes on to say, how could a king, a little bit before that, and in order for God to fulfill the promise he had made to Abraham, he had to rejuvenate Sarah and Abraham as well. And now, notice, Abimelech king of Gerar. He then fell in love with Sarah, who was 89 years old. How could a king fall in love with an elderly woman? It's because God had rejuvenated her so that Abraham could have the son that God promised him through her. It was not for her to have the children of Abimelech, the king of Gerar, but to have the son that God promised to Abraham. In the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, here on page 48, it tells us, page 48 of the Feast of the Trumpets, 48 to 49, look, it says, the last sign that Abraham, and we are the royal seed of Abraham, the bride, the last sign that Abraham ever seen before the promised sign come, the promised son come, was what? God in a form of a human being that could discern the thoughts of the people. One man, not a dozen, one man. No matter how many impersonations they had, one. And he writes there, Elohim. And he discerned the thoughts was in there. What? And the next thing happened. Abraham and Sarah turned back to a young man and woman. We know that. And there he draws a cornerstone and he writes, Abraham and Sarah rejuvenated. Now, I know that kind of chokes you a little bit now, but remember, just so that you'll be sure to know now, you don't read the Bible like this. You read between the lines and, see, make the picture come. And he writes the transformation. And also writes, read between the lines. Now, he goes on to say here, it's like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is represented, typified in Sarah as well, just like Sarah also represents the Hebrew people. In question and answers, which was on August 30th, 64, look, they ask him a question here. On page 57, notice, and they ask him, please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. Just a change, see? Our bodies. Now, let's say our. You know what I mean when I say that? I don't mean to be sacrilegious. I don't mean to say ours. I don't mean to say this church. I mean to say every believer. Abraham, he was looking for a promised son that was promised him. Is that right? He is answering it. And the church is looking for a promised son. The bride, is that right? The bride is looking for the promised son. The bride is looking for the promised son. Before the promised son could come to Sarah and Abraham, their bodies had to be changed. Is that right? She was too old to have a baby. She had no milk veins in her breast. Her breast was dried up. Her womb wasn't fertile. She was sterile. She could not have the baby. Her heart was too old to stand labor. So, what happened? God changed her back to a young woman. And he did Abraham the same thing, because he said his body was as good as dead. See? And he had to change their body in order to receive the promised son. And we cannot receive the promised son that's promised us today in these bodies that we live in. These bodies are sin. This first conscience, and he writes, spirit, controls this body with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and has just got us all scrupled up, crippled up. We reason in everything else. But that new body that comes from this born again, and there he writes theophany, heavenly, not this first conscience, it'll pass away. It's that inside something that lives. Everybody understand it? Say amen. And he writes there, he draws a Star of David, and he writes, the theophanic body comes from the new birth. It's not this outside, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It isn't. It's subject to death and will die. But the inside part of you, down here inside, meaning in the soul, that is the person that cannot die. See? And that's the person that the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. You get it? So potentially, it's in here. And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative that will reflect the positive, the word. See? And the same thing is, and this is the excerpt that is in the Book of Quotations. Now, he is going to read or speak. Book of Quotations, page 138. So that we can have it there. Paragraph 1235, which is this portion that I'm going to read now. And the same thing is, or the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that it's in you, the body will materialize around that word. And the same thing did by Sarah. At the top, he writes here in the booklet, the new one, the body of believers of each person. The body materializes around the word. And there, in the excerpt, in 1235 of the top, he writes, in the word, the body will materialize transformation and rapture. In the word, the body will materialize transformation and rapture. Abraham and Sarah, he writes there. And below, he writes, the promise of the promised son transformed Sarah and Abraham, and the son came. Now, he has taken us from the holy place to the most holy place, which is where the son comes. He goes on to say here in the booklet, before, when that old body that she had, that first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get it? That body could not do it. This body cannot do it. So, it'll have to be changed the same way to receive the son. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. That is, she, the church bride, had to go into the time of life because during the dispensation of grace, notice, she didn't have and couldn't give birth to that son. She had to go into the time of life, which is the most holy place where God dwells, where life is at this end time, because she is no longer in the holy place under the dispensation of grace. Now, he goes on to say here, the promised word is the one that contains that life, because the Holy Spirit is working there with that word to fulfill it. Therefore, that is the living word of the living God, the word that comes out of the mouth of God, and therefore, it is the original seed. It is a seed that must sprout in order to be materialized into what was spoken. What was promised. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. On page 75 of this message, it tells us, notice now, Lucifer comes in the cunningness and breaks the unity of God to man, just like he did in Eden, by great temptations of promises of self-power and exaltations. Why? You might become a bishop if you'll just stay with us. You might become a district prefector. Why would you go to something like that? See, that's Pentecostal, the Catholic, and so forth. See, a great false promise to men to receive power outside the word and the promise of God. You receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When does the power come? When the Holy Spirit comes. Not when you become a bishop or a deacon or whatever he was, see? But Lucifer is at his job again. Lucifer, and he writes Lucifer on the right, and he writes on the left, you receive the power. How? When the Holy Spirit comes. Now, he goes on to say here, in the message that I'm reading, notice, Reverend William Branham, speaking to us about Abraham, says, and about the rapture, he says on page 138, which is the one he was reading before that, he says, paragraph 1235 of the Book of Quotations says, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that is in you, the body will materialize around that word. And the same thing did by Sarah. See, the same thing he did with Sarah and Abraham, that word that God gave him, the promised word of a son that God would give Abraham through Sarah, around that promised word, the promised son was materialized, and the fulfillment of what God promised him came. The birth of Isaac was the materialization of the word promised to Abraham, because it was the word of God, which is a creative word. And the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ will have the promised word of this end time, around which every promise that God has made to his church bride for this end time will materialize. On page 143 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1280, it tells us, but, hallelujah, there will come a time where it won't be no more sex, but God shall call his children from the dust of the earth back like they was in the original, not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and the cosmic lights and the petroleum. He will create again like he did Adam at the first time. Now, it's by the creative word that the resurrection will take place and the transformation will take place as well. Notice, we return to Eden. And he writes there, Adam and Eve, the resurrection and transformation, a colon, creation. It's by the spoken word. He goes on to say here in the message, therefore, the word promised for this time will be materialized in the fulfillment of what has been promised. Therefore, the promised word will be made flesh at this end time, and the word will come in human flesh to fulfill everything that the church bride of Christ has been promised for this end time. That is why it is so important to receive the pure word, because around that word, what God has promised will be materialized. In the Book of the Ages, look, on the edited one, on page 61, which is 59, or 62, I correct myself, 62 of the other version. Here in this one, it's 61. It says, Don't fear, John. Don't fear, little flock. All that I am, you are heirs to. And he writes, Son of Man, Son of Abraham, above that. All my power is yours. My omnipotence is yours. As I stand in your midst, I have not come to bring fear and failure, but love and courage and ability. All power is given unto me, and it is yours to use. Now, notice why everything that has been spoken must be kept just as it was spoken, without interpreting anything. You speak the word, and I will perform it. That is my covenant, that it can never fail. And on the left, he writes upwards, speak the word. Now, in order for the word to be spoken, it must be based on something. It must have a basis, a foundation, just like the foundation for the dispensation of grace. The foundation was who the Lord was in his first coming. Now, he writes there at the bottom as well, in the eternal age, the everlasting covenant. Notice what Miguel, our brother Miguel, was asking. It came up there. It's the everlasting covenant. Remember that there are eight covenants. The Adamic covenant, since back then. There's a study where we spoke about that, regarding those covenants, the last three. The covenant of the law, covenant, the new covenant, the there in the grace. But there's another covenant, which is the covenant of the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, look, the covenant. In Revelation chapter 19, it says that he writes, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. And there is a place where he wrote covenant. Search in the book of the seals is where that is. Now, if the covenant has to do with a name, then there, find that portion there. Because if Revelation 19 comes with that covenant on his thigh, and what he has on his thigh is a name, that is where it's the stumbling stone for some, just as it was the stumbling stone in his first coming. Now, let's see where it is. That is in the book of the seals. I think it should be that one, the red one. Let's see if it's the... He writes on top of one of those.
La
269. Look, there it is. We are deviating from a subject a little bit, but let's have this here to have it included here. Look, it says, tomorrow night, and you'll see whether it's right or not, four corners of heaven, on a snow-white horse. That's the second coming. He also has a name, but not death, but the word of God, life. Amen. God wrote right on his thigh, and he circles it there, and he writes covenant. There is the covenant. That is the new covenant. That is the new mercy seat. The word of God, and that is the word. That is the only life. See, it's the time of life. It is the time of the dispensation of the kingdom, because God is the only source of eternal life. There is Zoe. Now, let's continue here. It says, This is my covenant, that it can never fail. And look, here he writes, in a place here, all power, this is in the Book of the Ages, in one of the notes, all power is given unto me, and is yours to use. And in between parentheses, he writes, in the eighth age, you speak the word, and I will perform it. That is my covenant which can never fail. Now, he goes on to say here, there is also a place, let's see here, in this other writing, before we continue. Look, he wrote, where he said, the power of transformation is in the promised word, operated by the Holy Spirit. Where is the power of transformation? In the promised word, that is, in the promised Son, in the word Son. The transformation comes around it. The power of transformation is in the promised word, operated by the Holy Spirit. The transformation comes around it. Now, he goes on to say, and if anything is added to it or taken away from it, the word becomes void for the person, and the person cannot receive what God has promised. If he had added or taken away from the word, he makes it ineffective, just as the Pharisees and the Sadducees made it ineffective by adding to it and taking away from it through the traditions that they added to the word, because they had the word there. But notice, they didn't accept it. God's provided way for God to carry out the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. Look, they had the entire word and everything, but since they interpreted it in their own way, no, it has to be this way. Then, when the fulfillment of that word came, they overlooked it. They didn't receive it. It says that that is what they did at his first coming. And Brother William says, he writes there, the Gentiles will do the same thing. He goes on to say, and then, when the fulfilled promised word came in their midst, they rejected it, which was the first coming of Christ. They rejected the first coming of Christ because they had added to and taken away from the promised word. They had added their own interpretations and made it ineffective for them. And now we can see why it is so important for the word to remain pure, so that it produces that for which God has sent it, and so that we receive the benefit of what God has promised for us, and for that promised word to be fulfilled, for us to see it and receive the benefits of the materialization of the word for our time. Now, here we have the promise that around the word, the bride will be transformed and raptured, taken with Christ in the catching away of the elect. Therefore, the church bride will have the promised word for this end time being materialized, being fulfilled. Look on page 34 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 286. He tells us there, when he is getting his schooling, his training, yet he might not be able to exercise all authority. He hasn't got it yet. He's still a son, but he hasn't been placed. God placed on him that robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. That's the thing that God will do to his sons here on earth someday. He'll call you aside. Church, if you'll only obey him and stay on the word and believe it, and he'll place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ. He will place into the church all the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church. God, wanting his work done, he sent it into his son. The son, wanting the work done, sent it into the church. At that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. At that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah, God rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Christ, placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place, have a ceremony before the angels, and placed him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. Let me say this. If you can count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done. There'll be a power put into the church, and now it's coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they speak the word, and it'll create itself right there. Because it is a creative power, as we had said this morning. Notice, it is God. It is a transforming power. Not a power that doesn't transform, that deforms, which is of the devil. Now, those who heard the one from this morning already know what I'm talking about. Those who didn't, they are lost, because they didn't hear that portion from this morning. We have not seen power like this coming into the church now. Now, it is for a fact. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you've said shall come to pass. You can have what you have said, the placing of the church in position. And there, in position, he draws a cornerstone on the left, and the arrow towards the cornerstone, and the edges at the bottom, but the arrow points to the cornerstone, where the full of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church, then critics' mouths will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice, it won't last long, but it'll be here. And above that he writes, it will be a short time, a spare time. And here, at the top, he writes in 286, he writes, the adoption, speak, and things will be created. And above, he writes, the robe of immortality. Now, notice, also here, in this writing, look. When the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a group, this is in a Bible study, individually does everything he tells us to do, we will see the divine power manifested just as it was seen in the past, and he writes in the 10th vision. Now, the part where he says, give me a church, because notice that that church has to be in order, page 6, paragraph 49, oh brother, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit must be there in that church in fullness. For that to happen, well, there must be children of God there in that church with the Holy Spirit in fullness. God will do in 1 year what the theologians failed to do in 2,000 years. You wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home to that faithful little remnant after the door of the Gentiles is closed. Oh, God will anoint a church then, and a cornerstone there on the right, and he writes, door, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And God will anoint the church with the power of God, and things will be taking place. Not only that then, but he's doing it now. And he writes there, the little remnant upwards. And he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and doors below in the ages, and a door in the cornerstone. And on the top he writes the anointing after the door of the Gentiles is closed. And the other place where he says that sin couldn't enter her, something like that, there he tells us that it is a church filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's see where that part is. He says that sin wouldn't enter. He talks about Ananias and Sapphira as well. It's in the first few pages, on page 61, paragraph 528. Look, he says, I've often wanted to come into a church. I've longed to see it. I guess where I could walk in the back door, front door, wherever it was, look across an audience and see a perfect church all in order. Now, in order to find a church like that, that is perfect, and in order, well, it must be, and everyone must be in order. It happened back then, on the day of Pentecost. Look, before that, they had different ideas for 9 days. Now, those who stayed until the end and waited were filled with the Holy Spirit. But there was still that time of 9 days of trial out of 380 left. In other words, time itself, it's the sifter. And then people start seeing. No, but something is happening here. But why doesn't this happen? But why doesn't that happen? And it is God testing His own people. And the time will come when the people that must be there will already be there. Now, He says, look across an audience and see a perfect church all in order. Sin couldn't stay there. No. In other words, sin is unbelief. But it entails everything. Resentment, hatred, malice, wicked thoughts, wicked desires, and wrong intentions. All of that must be out. They must be a people who are completely, he says there, in order. Sin couldn't stay there. No. Nuh-uh. No. The Spirit called it out. How? By the Word. You see? It just couldn't stay, like Ananias and Sapphira. You just couldn't do it. There will be no sin in that group. There will be no unbelief. And he writes there, Ananias and Sapphira. Now look, in this message, as the eagle steereth her nest, on page 20, notice, he tells us here, before God came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, or before He destroyed the earth by water, He sent a real mercy call, because there is always the warning, warning before judgment. Notice how Enoch came and preached against sin, and God sent an angel also, and He sent His prophet Noah. But what did men do? They ate, they drank, they builded, and it was wine, women, and song, and they rejected the message of Enoch and Noah. The message of Enoch and Noah was grace, mercy, and deliverance, but the message was turned down, and they sinned, just as they do today. The world of that day had its great men of learning and its great scientific advancements, and they put their trust in their own knowledge rather than God's Word. or God's prophets. So God was rejected of them. Therefore, God, in turn, did reject them, thinking that they had rejected that man, that prophet, yet the one they were rejecting was God. But notice, in turn, it was God who rejected them. When the waters of judgment came, it took the believers to safety, but the unbelievers to death and torment. It was the same water that destroyed the unbelievers that took Noah to safety. Today, it is the gospel message that will destroy the unbeliever and take the believer into the realms of glory and will rapture the sons of God before judgment strikes. The church will be safely carried through it. Amen. And he writes on the left, the rapture, Revelation 4:1. We try to bring the message of the supernatural of the vision of our heart that is telling us of the end time being at hand. But the modern church rejects it, as did Lot's kinfolk. People laughed and make fun of the supernatural, just as Lot's kinfolk laughed and made fun of him, because there's always mockers at all times. And this time wouldn't be the exception. There always are. And they are nearby too, because don't think that they are outsiders, they are from within. I have noticed too that there are some preachers who will not preach the message of his soon coming. They will bypass this important subject, or they will pass it off to their followers, that is, for the next generation after them. But the fact is that this is, I believe with all my heart, the last generation, and God has come down from glory to baptize the church with his power. He will come down from where? From glory. When he leaves, we see it in there in Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 10. Now, to do what? He says, to baptize the church with his power. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He writes 50 and the arrow towards the cornerstone. He draws it twice. Here on page 20, below, on the right, the cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. And on page 21, the same thing. But in this one on the left, he writes on top 50, because it is the year of Jubilee. Now, look, if we do the math, starting from April 9, 1906, until now, removing the 5 1/4 days of each year, we will find that before God, 120 years have already been fulfilled. And we are living in an extra time. That's around 2024, or check to see how many. It was like about a year or so beyond, meaning it's already been lived according to God's calendar. If it is in accordance to the divine calendar, and it is according to the Gregorian calendar, we have several months, April from the next year, and it will be 120 years, and that is a very important number. Now, after that was fulfilled according to God's calendar. Look, do the math of the 5 1/4 days, meaning which have already been lived, because you have already lived those additional 5 1/4 days. You have to calculate it and add it up. then divided by 30, which are the days of the month, and then divided by 12, which are the months in the year, and then you will see how many years there are in addition that have already been lived. Now, on page 34, there in the book of quotations, there what we read, it says on 289, that same page that we read, 286, notice, 289, I know one thing, as long as I hold on to that first ministry, the second won't come. It didn't came. Now, as long as I hold on to the second, the third won't come. See, I've got to step out, and believe it. God said so. And there he writes above, the third pool equals speak, for it to come, a colon, leave the previous. And in previous above he writes, the discernment. Now, he goes on to say here, and every divine promise for this end time, for the church, will be manifested. Every promise will come. Every promise will be manifested in human flesh, and it will come speaking to us of every promise made by God for us in this end time. Now, that promise, that it comes in human flesh, notice why he comes. Page 352 of the Book of the Seals, there he tells us, just about the time the Holy Ghost is revealing himself here in the last days, the Antichrist is showing his colors coming up through his politics and things. And just about the time the Antichrist moves himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. God moves himself fully on, he writes, with Moses and Elijah, and redeem it all. He writes, transform us. And on the left upwards, he writes, God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. That's on the left upwards. God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. He continues, and we, according to the promise, will be believing everything that God will be revealing to us, and therefore it will materialize in us, bringing forth the transformation of our bodies and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Look, in the message, the patriarch Abraham, on page 6, page 5, he tells us, and faith in God's word bring you to this promise. Then only can you have power to possess the seal of the promise. And on the seal there, on the left he writes Revelation 7 verse 2 and 11 from 3 to 7. And those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And the promise that we receive, the seal, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. For that is God in form of spirit, you being his word in you. Then he comes in. If you receive the word in you, the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can make that live. And then you have the promise of possessing the gate of every enemy that tries to attack you. That's right. God promised it. And it is so. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. And on the right he writes, the gate. Ahora sigue diciendo aquí. Now, he goes on to say here, and in that full manifestation of Christ in his church, after we are transformed, and there will be a period of time of 30 to 40 days in which the power of God will be manifested in all his fullness, and the entire world will be shaken, and then we will be taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, in heaven, to the seventh dimension. In the message, in this booklet, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine of the Church, here, it's in the booklet form, but this is a book of question and answers on page 514. And this excerpt is in the book of quotations on page 32, paragraph 267. It says, and then, when God's people begin to gather back together, there is unity, there is power. And here, in the booklet, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he circles the cornerstone. See? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. He draws a Star of David there on the left. There will be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be a minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. Here in the book of quotations, he writes on top, time of the rapture, rapturing phase. The gathering happens at the top, and he draws a cornerstone. And on the right, there he also draws a cornerstone and the ages, a bit below in the same paragraph. Now, he goes on to say, now, we must be the Word made flesh, the Word promised for our time made flesh in us, so that the transformation of our bodies and the resurrection of the dead in Christ may be materialized. Now, it has to be around that word of those thunders. And he said that the thunders will be uttering their voices in a great tent cathedral. Whoever says that the thunders have already been spoken, well, then what are you doing here? Then you have to go and prepare yourselves somewhere else, because what is happening here is the rapturing faith. What is being made known is the faith to be transformed. See how simple everything is? If he said that the thunders will be uttering their voices in a great tent cathedral, well, then we should be listening, just as he said. Tune into the tent, starting from the devotional. So, notice the importance of what God will be carrying out in that place. In today's message, which I also mentioned on Friday, I think it was, where he told us that many won't even realize that they are hearing the thunders because of the way and the manner in which God had it in his program. Page 9, he says, so, if the thunders are those that are going to make known, to bring that revelation, to let her know how to prepare herself, then we have to hear what the thunders, the people are going to be hearing the thunders. Well, they may not know that what they will be hearing are the thunders, but they will be the thunders. What are the thunders? The voice of the mighty angel that comes down from heaven, the word that he speaks to his church. There lies the mystery. The thunders revealed the mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery of the coming of the Lord. And we were told that in the third pool, the seventh seal will be opened, which is the coming of the Lord. Now, he continues to say, if the person doesn't have the promised word for our time revealed and believed and placed in the person's soul, then the person cannot be expecting the transformation for his body. Within the word revealed for our time comes the millennium as well. Everything comes in there, in the word revealed for our time. That is in the book of quotations, page 63, paragraph 555, where Reverend William Branham says, let's have it there, page 63, because he wrote something for us there as well. And he reads it, and it says, my mission, that I believe that God has called me for I have to say some personal things today because that's what I told you I'd do. See? And tell the world my mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming word. See? The coming word, which is Christ, and Christ in him has the millennium and has everything right there because he is the word. Now, he writes there in the book of quotations, above paragraph 555, he writes, the vision of the fourth Elijah is to forerun the word. The word, Christ, has the millennium coming. The mission of the fourth Elijah is to forerun the word. The word, Christ, has the millennium coming. And on the right, there he drew a cornerstone in the ages. Now, look, in this message, perfect faith, he tells us on page 7, at the bottom, he says, now, faith being the substance, and in there we find out in Hebrews what faith was and what those did who had faith. See? There's many times that people have faith today and tomorrow they haven't got it. The next day there's something and something else. But when God once anchors it and you see it, there is nothing ever going to make you move from it. And he circles. You see it. And he writes to the left, once you see it. Like he said in the book of the seals, I saw it standing there. He was standing there, he says. In other words, he saw what was going to take place. There it was in the sixth seal. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. There is nothing ever going to make you move from it. You're just poking. He writes there below, until you get there, you're just poking. You're just poking, reaching, presuming. And presume is to venture without authority. You're just trying this, and you're trying this, and going this way, and run here, and run there. You haven't got the faith yet, but when? That is what we call faith. And at the top he writes, presume equals venture without authority. I want you to get this now. We, the church, has got to lift itself in the power of God. How? We are too close to the end now. And I believe the church is in condition where we can teach it a little deeper things and rob some of this make-believe out. See? And get into something real. See, it's got to be something that you know. And he writes there, you have to know. And he also writes upwards, rub it out of the tables. Now, it goes on to say, and now, in fulfillment of what Reverend William Branham forerun, it is promised that the millennium is coming and everything promised to the church for this end time. In the fulfillment of what Reverend William Branham forerun, and he forerun the coming word, Christ, and Christ is promised to come to the church at this end time. The Holy Spirit came to his church in every age, and through the messenger of each age, he manifested himself through human flesh. In the message, the stature of a perfect man, because, notice, there has to be a way for the power to come, which is what he tells us about here in this message. On page 22, page 21, look, he says, yes, add virtue to your faith. That doesn't just mean living a virgin life, you know, like a woman, like the woman or a man, and so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. The Bible said, we read over here in the book of Luke, where it said, virtue went out of him. That right? If we're going to be like him, we must have virtue. And there in the left, he writes virtue, power. We must have it to be like him. It's the first song that I ever loved in the hymns. One of the greatest was to be like Jesus, meaning to be like the Anointed One. Because Christ, Messiah, Anointed One, is the same thing. Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I've got to have virtue and a path that it can pass forward from me to the people, because virtue went out of him to the people. Now, there he didn't even, the person said, they laid hands on me and he was healed and I was healed, or they did that or did the other thing. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to drop virtue out of us and the check wouldn't return? Insufficient funds. See? None dare to draw from. Check bounced, just like there are many whose check will bounce. Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out here carrying on like a sinner, not much virtue can be drawn from that, see, right? Virtue must be in us. And until we get virtue, then we get true virtue. We can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first, you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, he writes there on the left, on the right, he writes a way to pass the power forward. And that way, at this time, is each son and daughter of God, where God would manifest his power in all his fullness. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, then, it might be the reason you don't have it, because many churches today teach you don't have to have it, or the days of it has passed. They don't have to have it. Only thing you have to do is just join church. Yeah, days passed. Virtue, anyone knows what the word virtue means, see? And we must have it. If virtue went from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength, power. Some of them don't even believe in the power of God. They say that's past. Only thing you have to do now is to put your name in the book and be sprinkled or poured or baptized or whatever more. And that's all you have to do. But Peter said here, add virtue. Now, Peter is talking about building the house of God. See, the temple of God, fixing it to a place. And after you have virtue, after you have faith, you must have virtue with it. That's right. Have virtue for the whole world. Now, in a writing here in the back, he writes, a way through which you can pass forward the power to the people. That is, from you to the people, to the rest of the people. A way through which you can pass forward the power from you to the people. And look a bit further on page 25, he says, we are not building an organization. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. And he draws a cornerstone there, and the ages on the right. And he writes, the powerhouse. And in the back he writes, be like a powerhouse. O church of this time, be like a powerhouse. Now, a bit further on, in this message that we are reading, he says, Reverend William Branham says that wherever the word is, it must be veiled. It must be veiled in human flesh. Therefore, the word will be veiled in human flesh, and everything that was promised that God would do at this end time will be fulfilled. That is the way for God to fulfill what he promised. It, the word, must be made flesh at this end time, and the fulfillment of what God promised will be there. What was forerun by Reverend William Branham will be fulfilled there. In the message, the unveiling of God or removing the veil, he tells us on page 25, and this is an excerpt that is in the Book of Quotations, page 124, so that we can have it there as well. Page 124 from the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 1105. I'm going to read from the booklet. The true word, God had wrote it, and it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He was the word for them. He was the living word, hid. And he draws a star of David there to the left, veiled himself. Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Why? He was that word, amen. Until that word was made known, Moses had to veil himself. Amen. Now, notice at this time the veil will be pulled back from the Hebrew people as well. Do you see it? Wherever the word is, it's veiled. And he draws a cornerstone there on the left and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again, see? But while that word was in him to be given out, he was God. Well, he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him till that was over, had that word with him. So therefore, when he come, the people turned their heads. They couldn't understand. They had been changed. He was a different fellow. He come with that word, and he put a veil, the Bible said, over his face, for he had the word, and he was the word for them. And there he writes in the booklet, the word is always veiled. And he writes on the left, Revelation 11. And here, in the Book of Quotations, above that, on that paragraph, he writes, Moses was the word for the people. That age and dispensation. That age and dispensation. Nothing could touch him until the work was over. Below, he also writes Revelation 11 from 3 to 6. Those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And he writes, nothing could touch him. And on the right, at the end there, two stars of David. And there he also writes Revelation 11 from 10 to 21. And on page 138, paragraph 1237, he says, the bride ministers to Christ, the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. See, she ministers the word to the king, manifesting his promised word in the age that she is living. And he draws a cornerstone and star of David inside. And above he writes, the bride ministers the word promised to the king. equals, she carries the message of her hour. Now notice, in this message, words of greetings to the ministers. This was on May 4 of 2008 in Quito, Ecuador, he says. Therefore, it is the Holy Spirit operating that ministry of Elijah again, and operating the ministry of Moses, and operating the ministry of Jesus, as simple as that. Therefore, in that third pool, he will call those 144,000, and he will also call the elect of the end time, and he will place them in the stage relevant to this time, which is the stage of the cornerstone, the golden age of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the third pool is when he says that he will call the 144,000, but he also says that he will call the elect of the end time and place them in the age of the cornerstone. Now, look, in the message, five definite identifications of the true Church of the Living God, on page 17, he tells us, who set up this church up? Jesus Christ. No bishop, no group of men, no pope, no man-made power at all. But Jesus Christ spoke of it being his kingdom, and he writes his church, his kingdom that was coming in power. Some stand here. 16th chapter of Matthew. Verily I say to you, some stand here shall not see death until they see the kingdom of God coming in power. And he writes the adopted church, and a cornerstone, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Just a few days after that, he was crucified, and the Holy Ghost fell. Some stand here shall not see death until they see the kingdom of God. Now notice, he writes, there on the top, he writes, God is restoring his kingdom, his church, spiritually, then physically, with the adoption. God is restoring his kingdom, his church, spiritually, then physically, with the adoption. Now, he goes on to say, and that is the stage where we will be working, just as he worked in every age. He will be working at this end time, and that is where he will open the scriptures to us. He will teach us his message relevant to this time, and he will give us the faith, therefore, the revelation to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The faith for the rapture, the revelation for the rapture, the revelation to be transformed and rapture revolves around the seventh seal, around the second coming of Christ, just as the faith for the spiritual transformation revolves around the first coming of Christ, around that revelation. In the message, it is the rising of the sun, on page 39, he tells us there about Elijah. He says, now, notice, on Elijah after, look, Elijah, that great prophet, man in his day, excuse me, brother, sister, in that day he had busted them painted-faced women, them Jezebels and Ahabs, and stood still, and nobody looked like stood with him, and he rebuked and devoured and stood out there, and God had taken care of him and helped him in every place. You know, the old fellow got tired one day. He said, I'm getting old, so I just can't go any further. He was going on, I guess, 90 years old, real old, and walking around there. And he was so full of quickening power, you know what? He looked across Jordan, and God, I can almost see the other side. Now, look, in the in 2030, there, let's see, because there is something here. Well, he says, and walking around there. And he was so full of quickening power. You know what? He looked across Jordan. Oh God, I can almost see the other side. Can't you? So full of the quickening power until he seen a chariot hooked over there, some horses of fire and chariots of fire hooked to some tree over there. He just walked across the river and went home without even dying. The quickening power sent caused a chariot to come down from heaven and take him up. Even picked up his coat and throwed it back for Elisha. That's right. And he writes Elijah, rapture. Now notice, what took him up? It was the quickening power. And we read a few moments ago where God would come down with that quickening power, that powerhouse, to give it that power to the church and rapture her. Now notice, here is a writing that he left for us. And he writes, the transformation and the rapture are in the spoken word of God. The millennium is in the creative word of God. Everything God does, first he speaks it, and he writes through a prophet, and then it comes into existence. The transformation and the rapture are in the spoken word of God. The millennium is in the creative word of God. Everything God does, first he speaks it through a prophet, and then it comes into existence. The power of transformation. That has been our subject for this Bible study on this occasion. And we have seen there that this faith is needed for the transformation. Just as faith was needed in the dispensation of grace to obtain that eternal body, that theophanic body, that is, the new birth. But that faith doesn't heal the disease of old age. The only faith that will completely heal the disease of old age is the rapturing faith, is the faith in the dispensation of the kingdom. You have to have that rapturing faith to be healed, meaning to be transformed. Keep giving me that faith, Lord, so that I may be transformed. Let's stand. And let's leave the subject for today. There was a quote that was left pending there, which we didn't read. I had it open around here. Page 62, paragraph 546, it says, if a real church was ordained of God, really filled with the Holy Spirit, if sin would appear in the church, it'd be another like Ananias and Sapphira. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he writes, Ananias and Sapphira. The power of transformation. Now, we ask God to fill us with that Holy Spirit and for that power to be manifested in us. Let's sing that song, Fill My Soul with Your Holy Spirit. And thus, without limitations, Lord, show your power. Shake this world, as he says in that message. He says that it will be a short time. But he says, show your power. Now, how is he going to show it? He shows it through the bride church. Show your power, shake this world, and live it in chaos. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. Let's sing that song.
Espíritu en el alma, quiero nacer en tu reino, en esa dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción, oh mi regla. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamador. Testifico con mi fe en esta confesión. Oh, mi reclamador es mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu salvación, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción, que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
Ahora mire, llegó un momento donde.
Now look, there came a time when the people came in contact with the leader there in the midst of the Hebrew people, who was Peter. And they had to enter there. Now, there were some who weren't ready. They thought that was normal. We already know Peter. He is my buddy. Now, notice what happened there with Ananias and then with Sapphira. Are you prepared to enter the presence of God and receive blessings? Because that is what we desire. to receive blessings. Now, look in the book of quotations on page 55. He says, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. He draws a Star of David there on the left. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. What we need today is not pray for more power. You got enough power to make a new earth. What you need is faith to use that power, that is, a new earth, a new eternal and glorified body. What you need is control that life and live such a godly life that when you ask God anything, you know, we have confidence in God of that. And he writes, revelation, faith to use that power. And that is the revelation that he's given us. It is that revelation, it is that faith to use that power. And look, he writes for us there, in one part here, the amount of power depends on the amount of faith that you have. The amount of power depends on the amount of faith that you have. Now notice, in this message, the God of this evil age, page 18, he says, oh, if you could only believe what God has given. But if you are not seated there, you don't have it. And if you are seated there and don't believe it and afraid to move, you'll never use it. But if you are seated there, you will use it, for you are ordained to do what you do. And he writes there, use the power. Now look, also here, on page 105 of the Book of Quotations. Now, everything will continue moving. Notice here on page 105, paragraph 906, he says, I pray that you will save everyone, Lord. May there come forth a revival of the just and a great power come among the church just before its going. It's not hard to pray that because you promised it, and we are looking, Lord, for that third pool that we know that will do great things for us in our midst. And he writes, third pool. And on top, he writes, great power will come upon the church. It's a promise. Now, that would be carried out, he said, in the third pool. And we are in the third pool. Therefore, that power is today. And we say, God, pour out your power without limitations in the midst of the people. May nothing hinder, not only this church here, but in every place that is tuning in with the third pool, with Calle y Puerto Rico, with the Great Tent Cathedral. Pour out your power, Lord, upon your church without limitations. Remove everything that hinders, so that your blessing may be poured out without limitations, and that divine power may be in your church as you promised. And why do I speak it? Because every word and every promise that was given, when it is spoken, God has to honor that word being spoken. And when it is spoken at the relevant time, there is a people, there is a fertile ground that receives it that won't fail. That will be, thus saith the Lord, fill my soul with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción. Oh, mi reclamador, lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamador, testifico con mi fe en esta confesión. Oh, mi reclamador, eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
Amén.
Amen. Increase my faith, Lord, so that your power may be manifested in me without limitations. The power of transformation. Do you know that today, at this end time, you are receiving the power of transformation? In which that word, that power is in you, and that around that word, that new eternal and glorified body will be created. You have the creative power to create, to transform, not to deform. Therefore, continue living day by day, and every time you speak, act, and do something, may it always be the transforming power in you. Never speak words to deform. Speak words to transform. God bless the church bride with the power from above, with the power of the Almighty that has come down at this time to leave the power in His church in all His fullness, without limitations. The power of transformation. Let's live with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.